Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Wednesday, November 7th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Fewer than 50 votes separate Republican State Representative Bill Thomas and Democratic challenger Jonathan Kreis Tompkins in Southeast House District 34. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more on one of the state's closest races.
With 100% of precincts reporting, Thomas trails Kreis Tompkins by 44 votes. That is less than a full school bus of voters. Absentee, early, and questioned ballots could have an impact in this race.
Probably 800 absentee ballots are yet to be counted, although I've heard all sorts of different numbers.
That's Kreis Tompkins speaking to KCAW just before 11 o'clock on election night.
It's going to make a big impact. We put a real concerted effort into banking ballots early. I mean, my vote has not yet been counted. It's an early vote. And ditto for probably a majority of the people who are at our little election night party.
Thomas could not be reached on election night. Both ran intense campaigns, especially in the last couple weeks. Local newspapers were saturated with advertising. Mailers were sent to local homes, some of those from the campaigns themselves and others from supporters. Scores of letters to the editor ran in support of both men, and they appeared together at public events in Sitka and Haines. Thomas leaned on his relationship with State Senator Bert Stedman, a Sitka Republican who co-chairs the powerful Senate Finance Committee. Stedman publicly endorsed Thomas and lent his image to his advertisements. Kreis Tompkins also worked the advertising angle and made his presence known in Sitka and surrounding communities. He showed up in person on front porches to talk to voters about the election.
And it was neighbors talking with neighbors, friends talking with friends. I knocked on multi-thousands of doors, and we just ran a real hard campaign, and it feels great.
Kreis Tompkins says he's happy with his campaign, regardless of what the final results show. That won't be known until the absentee, early, and question ballots are counted, and that happens no later than 15 days after the election. House District 34 includes Sitka, Haines, Clukwan, Hoonah, Cake, Angoon, Port Alexander, Pelican, and Elfin Cove. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The results are more decisive in the contest for the new Senate District Q. State Senator Bert Stedman won re-election last night after a polite race against fellow incumbent. KRBD's Layla Carey reports from Ketchikan.
Sitka Republican Bert Stedman, the former District A senator, beat his opponent, Democrat Albert Kukesh of Angoon, the former senator from District C. Stedman has about 65% of the votes cast. He says he's pleased to continue his work as a Southeast senator.
I'm very pleased that the folks in District Q decided to support me and send me back to Juneau for another 4 years. Can you try to create some jobs and expand our economic base in Southeast? So it's nice to be reelected, no doubt about that.
Redistricting pitted the two incumbent senators against each other. The two had worked cooperatively in the Senate and ran a congenial race. Each touted his own record without denigrating the others.
Albert and myself worked together in the coalition for 6 years and helped each other on different issues throughout Southeast and other areas of the state. And I think that helped in how we addressed the campaign.
Kukesh has served 16 years in the legislature, 8 each in the House and Senate. Stedman has served 9 years in the Senate and is co-chair of the powerful Finance Committee. Stedman says he's not sure whether he'll continue in that role.
We'll have some organizational meetings over the next couple of days, and it really comes down to how many Republicans are elected out of Anchorage and that too, and how that dominant population center deals with other areas of the state.
Stedman says that some of the issues that likely will come up in the next session are the state's oil tax structure and energy. He says he'll continue to work on hydroelectric expansion for Southeast. Southeast representatives will have to work harder to get support for projects.
But one of the bigger challenges that just inherent may come up is Southeast is going to have less representation after the redistricting than we had before. So just from the numeric side of things, it's going to be a little more difficult to move Southeast issues forward.
Kukesh was not available for comment. There was a constant busy signal Tuesday from the phone number provided by his office. The new Senate District Q covers most of Southeast Alaska, with the exception of Juneau. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
The polls are closed. The polls are closed.
That's election worker Kathleen Brandt closing the doors at 8 p.m. after a busy day at Sitka's new super precinct at Harrigan Centennial Hall. This was the third election since August in the newly consolidated precinct in Sitka, and more voters turned out by far than in previous two elections. Precinct 2 Chair Dorothy Orbison told KCAW's Robert Woolsey that turnout was steady until fairly late in the day.
I thought it went very smoothly, and it was really encouraging. We saw a lot of 18-year-old voters having their first presidential election, and they were very excited to vote.
Was there anything else that jumped out at you about this election?
People certainly seemed energized.
In all, just over 3,200 votes were cast in Sitka, about 1,000 more than last October's municipal election, and over twice as many as last August's state primary election. Sitkans tracked with voters nationwide in their choice for U.S. president. Unofficial returns from yesterday's election showed Sitkans putting the Obama-Biden ticket ahead of Romney-Ryan, 57% to 43%, a difference of just over 400 votes. In the state's congressional race, Sitkans did not stray far from other Alaskans, favoring incumbent Don Young over challenger Sharon Cisna, 46% to 36%. And in the new Alaska House and Senate districts, Sitkans polled most heavily for incumbent Senator Burt Stedman, giving him 76% of the vote to Albert Kukesh's 24%. Kukesh is also a Senate incumbent. He and Stedman were forced into a contest by redistricting. On the House side, Sitkans also favored one of their own. Political newcomer Jonathan Christ Tompkins won 57% of the vote to Haines incumbent Bill Thomas's 43%. Sitkans will be paying higher wastewater rates starting next month. The Sitka Assembly last night unanimously approved hikes in the rates for both unmetered households and large consumer users. Currently, the domestic rate is $38.43 per month. That will go up about $3 to $42.19. The rate hikes are part of a five-year master plan adopted by the Assembly in 2011 to spread the pain of rate hikes over several years in order to pay for needed replacement of sewer infrastructure. Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett says she tries to reassure concerned citizens that the money is not going to waste.
None of us up here or in staff want to raise the prices. It affects every one of us, and there is no fluff going on anywhere. We are really looking at the very basics that need to be done to maintain good, healthy systems.
Assemblymember Matt Hunter put it a little bit differently. He said Sitkans are making up for years with no increases whatsoever.
This increase right now is playing catch up, so that it's like a retirement account. If you haven't been paying in a tiny bit over the years, you need to pay in a lot, and then you can pay in a tiny bit from then on because you've caught up. So we're just catching up. It'll be painful in the short term, and then we won't see drastic increases after that because it'll automatically go with inflation, which it hasn't been doing for the last however many years.
The Assembly approved the increase on a vote of 6-0 with Tor Christensen absent. It will go into effect in December. This is the second of five annual increases planned through 2016. Sitka's dogs will have their day after all. The Sitka Assembly last night tabled a controversial ordinance banning dogs from Muller Field and the Kim Sham Complex and will likely scrap it altogether. Instead, they plan to bring forward a revised law that leaves dogs and their owners in the mix. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
First off, this is not leave to take your dog out on Sitka's new $2.6 million artificial turf baseball diamond at Moeller. That facility will remain forever off limits to pets, and the fine for violations will likely start at $300. The pet owners who appeared before the assembly Tuesday night and who worked with the Parks and Rec Committee over the past couple of weeks were not asking for the world. They want a deal that makes one of the Kim Sham fields dog-friendly. Michelle Kennedy owns a couple of Great Danes. She says the options for exercising her pets is limited.
I want you to know that the ball field is the only place where my dogs can run without a leash. They are always leashed, always.
Kenley Jackson also testified as a dog owner. She said she was one of a conscientious group of dog owners who not only exercised their pets at Kim Sham, but also took an interest in caring for all the fields. Jackson said her group was willing to formalize this arrangement.
We had signed a petition that I hope you folks have seen about having one field designated as dog-friendly And the agreement that we would like to propose is that we would be responsible as a user group for also taking care of the trash at the other fields.
42 residents have signed the petition in support of this bargain. Parks and Rec signed off on the proposal at its last meeting. Assemblymember Michelle Putz helped craft the language. She said dog owners were willing to extend the general dog ban beyond Moeller in exchange for the one field at Kimsham.
The ball fields at Keetgushaheen, Villandre, Baranoff, Upper and Lower Moeller Field, the island, and also to ban dogs on all the playgrounds. So we're actually, it expands substantially the places where dogs would not be allowed. But in addition, the group suggested that any ball field could be considered for group sponsorship and subsequent designation as a dog use area. So if you found another group that was willing to sign on, they could potentially open up another spot for dog use.
The dog owners proposed that the first field on the left at Kimsham become the dog-friendly field. Putz planned to have language for a new ordinance ready by the Assembly's next meeting on November 27th. The Assembly agreed to table the original dog ban, which is already passed on first reading, and shoot it down at that time. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Sea Alaska Corporation says it's distributing more than $12.8 million to shareholders and village corporations. The Juneau-based Regional Native Corporation is making the payments to tribal member shareholders on or about December 6th. The payout will range from $8.68 per share or $868 for 100 shares to 96 cents per share or $96 for 100 shares. And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. Today in Sitka, expected to be mostly cloudy. Scattered rain showers, highs around 44. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows 29 to 35. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.